time I find grace more precious than I did before. Oh, hello, hello. Can you hear me? Are we good? Oh. And every time I go running, I find grace on repeat. You welcome me with open arms, no matter where I've been. And every time I fall, I find grace more precious than I did before.
Thank you. Thank you. was deep, your grace was deeper. My shame was wide, your arms were wider. My guilt was great, your love was greater still. You ran to me when I was naked and clothed me in your righteousness. You pulled me from the depths of darkness into your light again. Oh, into your light again. My sin was deep, your grace was deeper. My shame was wide, your arms were wider. My guilt was great, your love was greater still.
I see you, child, though you can't see me.
just didn't hear my call. And I know it's not easy. Don't you give up on me. Don't you give up on me. Cause the darker the night gets, the brighter the light is. Don't you give up on me. Thank you.
Good morning, Ascend Church. I need you to do me a favor. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout like your favorite team won for the World Cup. Shout like your problem child graduated college. Shout like the King has given you victory over sin, the grave, and death. Come on and make some noise in this place. As you think of his goodness, it's gonna get loud. I promise you that. Come on, Ben. Song to sing. It might not be on key, but it's from my heart, and no one else can tell it what the Lord has done for me. This might take all day, so I'm gonna start right now.
And it might get loud.
Yeah,
it might get loud. Coming down, down, down,
and it might get loud. Somebody say
it might get loud.
Yeah.
Heaven's coming down, down, down,
and it might get loud. I don't got a halo. No, I'm not a perfect man. I'm just glad to be a child of God.
Think of where I could have been, should have been, would have been if he hadn't stepped in.
Well, I've got a praise on the inside that can't be denied, and I gotta get it out right now.
And it might get low.
Yeah, yeah, come on, y'all.
It might get low. Heaven's coming down, 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 and it might get low.
Somebody say
it might get low.
I praise him as loud as I want. Why can't I praise him as loud as I want?
Here we go.
Why can't I praise him as loud as I want?
It's coming down, 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 down.
Why can't I praise him as loud as I want?
It's coming down.
Somebody lift the voice.
Why can't I praise him as loud as I want?
Hallelujah, come on.
Say it might get low. It might.
we worship you in this house. We give you all the praise, all the glory, Father God. We thank you, Lord.
We sing hallelujah.
Now with a loud voice, somebody praise him. Somebody give him glory. Come on. Hallelujah. He has overcome death, sin, and the grave. Somebody lift up a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now is the time in the service where we're going to have our prayer partners come forward. And if you are in need of prayer this morning, we invite you. Don't be afraid. We want to pray and agree with you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Every time I come running, I find grace on repeat. You welcome me with open arms, no matter where I've been. And every time I surrender, every time I fall, I find grace more precious than I did before. So I'm gonna lay my world down here at your feet. Look to the heavens for all I need. My heart, praise on repeat to the God who's never given up on me. You're the mercy in midnight, you're the kindness of dawn, the hope in every waking, and the strength I lean on. Every time it comes to sundown and the night sets in, let my soul remember just how good you've been. And again my heart will say, I'm gonna lay my world down here at your feet. Look to the heavens for on repeat to the God who's never given up on me. Cause you're the God who's never given up on me.
Grace upon grace, morning by morning, day after day will I sing. Praise upon praise, God be exalted over and over again.
Oh, grace,
grace upon grace, morning by morning, today will I sing.
Praise,
praise upon praise, God be exalted over and over again.
Oh, grace,
grace upon grace, morning by morning, day after day. You're the God who's never given up on me.
Grace upon grace, morning by morning, Jesus, the light of heaven, worthy of praise. Jesus, the King is risen. He reigns in grace and power, worthy of praise forevermore. Nothing less than my all. And I surrender my all to Him. Lift up His name. Jesus, the light of heaven, worthy of praise. Jesus, the King is risen. He reigns in grace and power, worthy of praise forevermore. Nothing less than my all. I surrender my all.
Lift up His name.
Lift up His name. Surrender my all to Him.
Lift up His name. Jesus, the light of heaven, worthy of praise. Jesus, the King is risen. He reigns in grace and power, worthy of praise forevermore. Nothing less than my all. I surrender my all to Him.
Somebody give Him a shout of praise. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your anointing that fills this room, God. We cry out for more, Lord. We're hungry for more. We didn't come just to check a box. We came to meet with you, God. We came to meet with you. So saturate this room with your spirit and have your way in this place.
Here we go.
As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Hey, come rest on us. Hey. Oh, come with fire and wind. Come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on.
Oh, we cry out.
Come rest on.
Come with fire.
Fire away. Come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us.
Whoa.
Come rest on.
Calm down.
Calm down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart. When you build a room. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me come. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart. When you fill the room. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me.
those in the church who are hungry for more. These are those in the church who will lift their hands and lift their voice and receive something new from the Lord, a refreshing from the Lord. So let's sing this together and receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, church.
Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want.
Come on, let this be your prayer this morning. Sing it out.
Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. Yeah. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want.
You're all we want.
You're all we want.
Calm down.
Calm down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. Calm down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me.
Won't you come now, come now.
The Holy Spirit was there right from the beginning. He hovered over the deep. The Holy Spirit's been present and active through the Godhead throughout the ages, says the Lord. But the Holy Spirit's primary purpose in this day and age is to empower the church. Because they waited in the upper room and Jesus said, don't go anywhere until the Spirit descends upon you. And they were gathered and they were praying and a rushing mighty wind came into the room and it began to swirl around where they were. And the Bible says that tongues of fire sat upon the head of every single believer. Do we have any believers in this room? Just lift your hands up before the Lord. Father, I thank you for the fire of God that begins to flow in this place. Father, we want to be like the church in the book of Acts. We don't want to act on our own. We don't want to live on our own. We don't want to walk this Christian walk on our own. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you, Holy Spirit. We hunger for you, Holy Spirit. Come on, if you have a hunger in your heart for more of the things of God, say, I need you, Holy Spirit. Move in my life. Anoint me afresh. Let me have a fresh outpouring. Father, I speak that over this entire building right here now. Father, I just speak a refreshing. Just a refreshing, an outpouring of the Spirit of God upon your people. That they're not able to live life as usual as this week comes up. Father God, that you wake them up in the middle of the night. That you begin to minister secret things of God to their heart. That you begin to stir a desire for them to pray like they haven't prayed in a long time. Father God, that they reach out and they lay hands on the sick. Father, let there be a stirring in this church and in every single person. in every single person. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We're not embarrassed by you, Holy Spirit. We need you, Holy Spirit. We desire you. We desire your power and your anointing to flow in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. You know, the Bible says that no eye has seen and no ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for him. So the things of God, we can't even begin to conceive with our minds. We get a little glimpse, but we can't grasp, because he's such a big God. He says, but... He said, who knows the thoughts of a man but the spirit of man within him? And who knows the thoughts of God but the spirit of God? Not just that. He says, and he has revealed them unto us. The Holy Spirit is sent to uncover, to bring revelation, to bring a fresh understanding, to speak to your situation, to give you wisdom, to give you direction. The Holy Spirit has come to take the thoughts of God and reveal them to you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful. How about you? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascent Church. Turn and greet someone. Tell them you're glad to see them. You may be seated. Church this morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to those that are watching online. Welcome to Ascend Church. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that the anointing and the presence of God will just flood you right where you're sitting in your home, that whatever it is that you need from the Lord, you receive it today. You hear a word from God that changes your life forever. And we thank you for watching. People are watching on Facebook Live. Let us know where you're watching from. Comment on the service. Go ahead and share the live stream. Thank you for doing that. It extends our reach. People watch on YouTube. We appreciate that. But I personally like to be in church. You know, we drove past a diner on the way here, and there was a line of people waiting to go in. And I was like, I would skip breakfast any day to be in the house of God. Let me tell you, there's nothing that compares. Welcome to each of you. If we have anyone visiting for the first time, won't you wave your hands at us? Don't you dare, Chris. I know I haven't seen you, but God bless you. God bless you. So glad that you're here with us today. And we ask you just fill out that guest card. And when the offering bucket comes by, just drop that in. And we'd love to just give you a call, find out how you enjoyed the service, stay and say hi to us afterwards. We appreciate that. That's for our guests, and then for those who are regulars, you know, we're going to pass the clipboards by. If you're attendance register, just let us know that you were here. It's a real blessing, real help to us pastorally. Thank you for doing that. If you don't get our text messages, go ahead and text the word ASCEND to 561-745-5404. Just text that. We don't text all the time, just important updates about what's coming up. And the thing I like about that, it's also shareable. So if you get something in the, you would have got it. How many of you got the text this week about the service? Right? So if you didn't get the text, you're not on the text list. So text that word. But just like you'd see what's upcoming at church, so easy to just forward that to somebody and say, hey, I was thinking about you, I was praying for you. I'd love to you'd be my guest in church on Sunday. It's such a good way to reach out to someone. Amen. Praise God. Well, right now is the time in the service where we're going to receive our offering. We're going to give into the kingdom of God. Amen. 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 And I've been reading the book of Matthew. Well, I was been reading the Gospels this week, and in the book of Matthew, Jesus is writing, and it's just I so enjoy it. But in Matthew 6, he talks about there's different chapters, and he says, when you pray, then he says, when you fast, and then he says, when you give. And I like that. So he says something about each one. But we know, and Pastor Steve's going to preach this morning on prayer. We know that part of our Christian life is praying, right? Part of our Christian life, our prayer is not a last resort. Prayer is our first response. Amen? And then fasting. Some people in the church have been fasting for the beginning of this year. Maybe a day, 3 days, a week, 21 days. People have been fasting because Jesus said the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from you. And in those days, they will fast. So there are times that we fast. And that's a Christian practice. That's something we're going to do as long as we're alive on this earth. But then he says, when you give. So he didn't say if you give. Or leave giving to somebody who has enough. Somebody who's got more than enough can do the giving. Lord, send a millionaire so that they can do the giving and I can hold on to my money. No, he says each one of us, when we give. We were just in LA for a couple of days to see our kids a week or two ago. And my grandkids, they were like, got $20 for something. And I'm like, you do know. God first. First $2 of that 20 belongs to God. Don't hold on to what belongs to God. Amen. And so he said, when you give, and Deuteronomy 14:23 says, the purpose of tithing, that's giving the first tenth, is to teach you always to put God first in your life. It's all about putting God first. It's about trusting God above your job. Because what happens? Your job, careers change. Companies close. You don't want to put your trust in man, family, or the economy. Lord, help us. Put your trust in God. And one of the way we do that is when we honor him first. Amen. And one more verse. I just absolutely love the way this translation puts it in Proverbs 3, which is a book of wisdom, by the way, which means we could learn a few things that'll help us in our lives. It says, glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your first fruits, with every increase that comes to you. That means every time I get something, I'll go, oh, what a blessing. That's an increase to me. I honor God first. I honor God first. I give to God first. Amen. And it says, then every dimension of your life, say every dimension. That's not only just talking about money. Every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. There'll just be an overflow of blessing in your life in every area. So thank you, Lord, for the privilege of giving into the work of God. Amen. Various ways you can give. There's envelope, a red envelope right in the seat in front of you. Thank you to those that are giving online. So easy, so secure. Various ways that you can give up on the screen. And thank you to our faithful tithers and givers in this church. We appreciate it more than words can say, more than that God appreciates when we support the house of God. Amen. And so go ahead, and as you get ready for that, I'm going to pray. Father God, we look to you as our source. And the reason we do is because we know that you are faithful to your word. We know that your name means Jehovah Jireh. That means the Lord, our provider. And we look to you as our provider, Father. Jesus, you said, why are you even worried about anything? You're worried about what you wear, what you eat, what you're going to drink. Look at the birds of the air. They don't worry. So, Father, we don't look at our needs, but we look at you, our provider. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for your provision upon your people. Thank you. You said, give us this day our daily bread. Thank you for an abundance, for uncontainable blessings flowing in people's lives as they support your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. the ushers are going to pass that offering bucket by, and visitors just drop that card in. We appreciate you doing that. And Pastor Steve, thank you. Man, I like that new sign. I like that new sign over there. I come up with an idea, and this is the guy who makes things happen. I just go like, I think we should, I would kind of just draw it with like pen.
Praise the Lord. Yes, we're on a mission, aren't we? Isn't that our theme for the year? We are on a mission. We're on a mission to know God better. We're on a mission to grow in our faith. We're on a mission to make disciples, to share the gospel and make disciples. Are you on this mission with us? Because I invite you and encourage you to join us and unite with us. And let's be on this mission together. Amen. Let's believe that 2023 is the best year of our life. Amen. Let's believe that God does greater things this year than we've ever seen Him do before. Amen. I want to say to all of our faithful tithers and givers how much we appreciate your faithfulness. Now, I know that you don't give and tithe for our, you know, just for us, but you're doing it unto God. And that's exactly true. When we tithe and when we give, we're giving it unto God. He knows every dime you've ever given. And He knows every dime that you didn't give that you should have given. He's keeping track of it all. God is the best account keeper you ever met. And let me tell you, God set it up this way. This is the way God set it up. I didn't set it up this way. God set it up that when we... God said that we are to bring the tithe into His house so that there can be food in His house. And when we do that, God said He opens the windows of heaven and He pours blessings upon us. So you could say when you support and when you give to the house of God, God takes care of your house. If you're not interested in taking care of the house of God, you don't have to, but God is not obligated to take care of your house either. Amen? And you know, I just want to say to you that we look to the Lord as our source. We look to God as our source. I don't look to you or to any person as my source. I look to God. He takes care of us. Amen. And even though you may not be aware of this, but we're fasting, we're praying, we're trusting God for breakthroughs. But you know, we go through a lot of challenges as a church that you don't often know about. And very often those challenges are financial, because people, you know, they don't always think about what it takes to run a church like this. They don't think about the costs that are involved. And so the last couple of months, kind of the income's been down. In fact, Jill and I haven't received one penny in any kind of salary in the last month or so. But the Lord's taken care of us. In fact, in October, we gave over $10,000 personally to this church. And so God will take care of us. But I just want to say thank you to all of you who are faithful to tithe and who are faithful to give. We're stepping out in faith. We're not pulling back. We're stepping out, man. We're going to have some major soul-winning events this year. We have Bill Weiss coming up in a couple of weeks, like 2 weeks. 2 weeks' time, we got Bill Weiss. And Bill Weiss, can we have that graphic on the screen? Because we're going to watch the video in a moment. Bill Weiss had a really amazing experience happen to him, where the Lord took him, his spirit came out of his body, and the Lord took him to hell and showed him hell. And he was there for 23 minutes. Hell is terrifying. Hell is horrific. and hell is real. Jesus spoke quite often about hell. Some people think, well, you know, I'm not worried about hell. Listen, I do not want to go to hell. There's no way on earth I want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. So we're stepping out in faith and we're having Bill come because God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. God never created hell for people. He created it for the devil. But if you don't receive Jesus, the Bible says, he that does not believe in the Son of God is condemned. You will perish. That's what the scripture says. So our job is to tell people. So we're stepping out in faith as a church and we're having Bill come. And I've been advertising it we've done it on Facebook. We've shown the video. We've had over 10,000 hits on it. Over 2,200 people have watched it completely through. I'm praying that God's going to use that video to draw those people. And then starting this week, we're going to run that commercial on television on 18 different stations, 262 spots we're going to be running. And I want to ask you to pray that God will use that to get people's attention and that they will be drawn, that they will come. I'm believing God. Can I tell you what I'm believing God for? For 100 people to be saved. I'm believing for 100 salvations, Mike. That's what I'm praying and fasting. But can I tell you that we're stepping out in faith to have an event like this where you're advertising on TV and you're flying people in? The budget's over $10,000. We're stepping out in faith and doing an event of $10,000 when we haven't been paid the last 30 days. But let me tell you, God is faithful and he has taken care of us. And I just want to thank all of you who are faithful to tithe and faithful to give. And if you are a member of this church and you're not faithful to tithe, I'm asking you to begin to honor the Lord. Because number one, it's going to bring blessings in your life. And number two, it's going to help us from not having to pray and fast quite as much. So when you came in today, can you go ahead? Let's watch that video. Are we ready to roll that?
Hi, my name is Bill Weiss. I'm the author of the book 23.
Turn it up for us.
I will be speaking at Ascend Church in Jupiter, Florida on Sunday, February 5th at 10 a.m. I'll be sharing an out-of-body experience that God gave me where he actually took me to hell. You will hear how horrifying hell really is, but more importantly, the scriptures that verify what I saw. Please invite those who are skeptics or those who do not believe in God or hell. Now, I look forward to seeing you there.
Is there one of those invites in my Bible? Does someone have one of those invites? I had. Oh, thank you, Carol. When you came in today, did you get some of these invites given to you? Did everyone get someone? Anyone out there? All right. So I'm asking you, please, because even though we're advertising this, you know, on social media, Facebook, we're going to be advertising it on television. The best way of reaching people is you. There is no better way of reaching people than a personal invitation. And I'm asking you to take these cards. How many did you get today? Like 5 cards? How many did they give? They gave you 7 cards? Well done, Dimini. I'm going to ask you to take those 7 cards and invite 7 people this week to come to the Bill Weiss event. We've got 2 weeks to go. Now remember, Bill, Carol's son, Bill, he was here last Sunday. He took a picture of this invite, and on his phone, he sent it to 15 of his closest friends. He says, you're going to find out who your friends are. Are you bold enough? Let me tell you, do you love your friends enough? Do you want them to go to heaven or do you want them to go to hell? Are you more worried about what they think about you than them spending eternity in a place called hell? Because the Bible says that if we don't tell them, how can they believe? I asked you when you invite someone, there's a little tear-off piece, that little yellow section, it's perforated. So we did it intentionally. It costs extra for perforation, you know, so that you can tear that little card off. Because what I want you to do is when you invite someone, you write their name on their name. On that card, and you bring that card and you put it in the lobby. We've got a big board when you came in the lobby. There's about 25 cards up there. I thought maybe a bit more. I was hoping we'd have like 250 by now. So won't you pray with me? Just kind of swivel in your seat and stretch your hand that way, because we're going to pray for those people. Father, we pray for every person whose name is written on that board, who's taped to that board. These are people that have been invited to come to this event with Bill Weiss. Father, we pray for these people. We pray that you would draw them by your Spirit. And we take authority over anything that would try and hinder them from being at that event. In the name of Jesus, we claim them for your kingdom. We claim their salvation. We thank you, Lord, for drawing and guiding them. We believe they will be here and that they will receive Jesus. They will be saved. And we give you all the thanks and praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine all the people in heaven one day that are going to say, man, Tom, I'm so thankful that you invited me. You took me to church one day. I'm so thankful because I'm in heaven for all eternity because of you, because you reached out to me. Amen. Then also, we made up some little posters. Just what do you call these? What size paper is that? Letters, 8x8, like letter size. We made some of these posters up talking, advertising the Bill Weiss event. If you have a place where you could put a poster, maybe in your store or maybe in your apartment building or at your office or somewhere where people are going to see it, I don't want you to put this poster up in your bathroom. I want you to put it where someone is going to see it. I'm going to put it up in my condo building. I'm not even going to get authority. They might tear it down. I'm going to put another one up. You're a lawbreaker. I want to get people in heaven. There's a lot of old people live in our building. It's a good time to reach them, right? We're going to tell them. I even thought about going putting an invite under every door. What are they going to do? Take that for me. Now, as my wife said, we've been fasting and praying. Today is day 14. And this is our final week of our 21-day fast. Let me ask you, if you participate, if you fasted at all the past 14 days, just wave your hand at me, if you fasted at all. Well, praise God. That's wonderful. Well, I want to encourage you, if you haven't fasted, this is the last week, you can still join us. Every day I've been posting things about the benefits of fasting. Today I posted, say that fasting fans the flame of the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I see it in my own life. As I fast and pray, I'm more on fire for the Lord than I was before. That's what happens when you fast and pray. Something happens to you. I want to encourage you this final week, join with us. There's different ways you can fast. Some people are fasting all day and then eating one meal at night. Some people are doing the Daniel kind of fast, which is me, which is basically I've cut out meat and cut out sugar and cut out wine, alcohol, anything like that. And let me tell you, for me to cut out meat, major sacrifice. For me, it's a major sacrifice. No, it's not a big sacrifice for Jill. That's not a big sacrifice. Sugar's a one for her. But we've been fasting and we've been praying and it's been so good for us. And I just want to encourage you to join us this last week because fasting brings breakthroughs in your life that don't happen any other way. William, I want you to, I know you're on the camera there. I want you to run real fast if you don't mind and come get up on the stage because you came to me before service today and just keep us on a wide shot. And so I just want to tell you, this man walked into our church 2 years ago, and he was on a walker. He wasn't able to walk. And he told me that he had, he'd been to three doctors, and he had some herniated discs, and three doctors said they couldn't do anything. And then the fourth doctor, he wanted to do surgery. Now, before I get to that, you had been addicted to drugs for how long?
42 years.
42 years you had been addicted to drugs. And you came to me today, and you told me how God is, you totally delivered of drugs, how you are now walking. But you never had the surgery, right?
No.
You never had
the surgery? No.
What happened?
No. The doctor said that I was supposed to have the surgery. He said, Mr. McKinney, I want to tell you, you're not going to get any better. You're only going to get worse. As a matter of fact, you may be bedridden if you don't get this surgery. And he said, do you want me to schedule it today? I said, no, let me go home and I'm going to pray about it. And I'm going to talk to my wife and I'll let you know. And I went home and I sat on the bed and I told my wife, I said, well, whatever God leads me to do, I'm okay with it. You know. And as I was sitting there praying, I heard the Holy Spirit say, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the doctor's report or are you going to believe my word? And at that point, I told my wife, I said, there's no surgery. I put the cane down and I started walking better. Next thing I know, I was going upstairs.
I mean, I saw you every week. You came to church. You just kept getting better. The next thing, you're walking up those stairs, and you got no walker.
It's because of the word that was being imparted in me that's changed my life. You know, I get a chance now. Not only am I doing better, but I got a job.
Yes, that's what I wanted to get to.
I'm back to work.
You got a job a week ago. And tell us what your job is. It's your dream job.
It's my dream job. I'm a behavioral health technician, and I work at a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center. I get a chance to speak into the lives of others and let them know that God, if he can do it for me, he can do it.
Praise God. That's awesome, man. Awesome. We rejoice with you. Praise the Lord. He went from 42 years of drug addiction. Now he's going to help other people get free. Isn't that awesome? I love it, man. I love it. Let me tell you, the Apostle Paul, he said that he preached the word of God in demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, we are church, Ascend Church. We believe in preaching the gospel with demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, with signs following. Amen. Well, are you ready for God's word today? Ask your neighbor, are you ready? I'm ready. I've got to get going. I've got to get you all keeping me talking too long. I've got to get into this right now. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that you are so good to us. Thank you, Father. It's your will that we would walk in health, that we would walk in blessing, that we would walk in freedom. Jesus, you came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. And I thank you today, Lord, that as I preach your word, that it brings life, that it brings hope, that it brings faith. Thank you, Lord, for anointing me today. I'm not trusting on myself. I'm looking to you, Lord, to use me. And I give you the glory and the praise for everything said and done in Jesus' name. Amen. And today, I want to speak about a lifestyle of prayer. As you know, we're starting the year with 21 days of fasting and prayer. But, you know, fasting without prayer is just dieting. The reason why we fast is we want to give ourselves more to prayer and to studying the Word of God. And a lot of people know they should pray, and a lot of people want to pray, but sometimes they don't really understand how to pray. Well, let me say this to you. Prayer is simply talking to God and listening to Him. Prayer is talking to God and listening to Him. Some people only pray when they're in a desperate, you know, need, when they really need God's help. Or they don't know what else to do. They get a bad medical report. Oh, I've got to pray. They lost their job. Or maybe they got a relationship, trouble in their marriage. Oh, I've got to pray. Too often, prayer is our last resort. But God wants prayer to be our first response. Let me tell you, the importance of prayer, I cannot overstate how important prayer is. Prayer transforms you. Prayer is essential in knowing God. If you want to know God, you have to. The only way you get to know Him is by spending time in prayer, by talking to Him and listening to Him. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 7, pray continually. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's will is that we pray continually, not occasionally, but it's a lifestyle. Romans 12, verse 12 says, be faithful in prayer. And the Passion Translation says, commune with God at all times. See, prayer is to be a lifestyle, because prayer is what draws us closer to God. The more you pray, the closer you're going to be to Him. It deepens our relationship with God. Prayer is what keeps your relationship with God healthy. It enables you to hear His guidance. If prayer is the lifeblood of the Christian faith, then many Christians are anemic. Because even though they know that prayer is essential, so many Christians struggle to make prayer a part of their daily life. Sometimes prayer intimidates us. And despite everything we've heard about prayer, sometimes we still feel uncomfortable praying, whether it be in private or whether it be in public. But let me tell you, God wants you to see prayer. It's the foundation of your relationship with Him. A lifestyle of prayer is the secret to living an authentic Christian life. How do you make prayer a lifestyle? By making it a part of your daily life. By making it the priority that God intended. Prayer will remove anxiety and stress out of your life. You're having a problem with anxiety? Pray. The scripture says in Philippians 4 verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and then what will happen? And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So the Bible says, you feel anxious? Pray. Tell God what it is that you need from Him. The Passion Bible says it like this. Don't be pulled in different directions. Don't be worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Christ Jesus. Now the Bible says, tell God every detail of your life. Prayer is a place to offload your worries and your cares. Give them over to God. The Bible says, give all your cares to the Lord. Cast all your cares on the Lord. We can tell God the things that are bothering us. But I love the way that it says, bring your faith-filled requests. Now listen, there's nothing wrong in telling God how you feel or what you're going through. You can talk to God like you would your dearest, dearest friend. You don't have to put on any airs and graces. God knows you. You don't have to. I knew one man, when he prayed, his voice changed. He suddenly started, when he prayed, he went into King James. Oh, Lord God, we beseech thee this day. You don't talk like that. Do you think that's go talk to God like you talk to your best friend. Lord, you can share and tell Him every detail of your life. You can tell God what you're going through. But at the end of the prayer, make sure that you bring a faith-filled request. In other words, Lord, this is how I feel. This is what I'm going through. This is my difficulties. I'm giving them over to you. I believe you're taking care of this. I believe you're helping me. I believe you're meeting this need. I believe you. It's not just complaining. You can tell God all the things that are troubling you, but then do it with a faith-filled expectation. Does that make sense to you? Because let me tell you, prayer will change your circumstance. Because God answers prayer. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, He said, call to me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know, things that you have not seen. Call to me, I'll answer you. Jesus said in John 16, verse 23, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I'd say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy will be full. Jesus told us to ask God. We have been invited to ask God for anything that we need. In Mark 11, verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So prayer changes our circumstance. When you pray and ask God for the things you need, and you pray with faith-filled expectation, and you believe that you receive, and you just start thanking God even before you see it, that changes your circumstances. Prayer empowers you. Prayer empowers you to live supernaturally. Do you know the Bible says in James chapter 5 in verse 16, it says the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power. Say, my prayers have great power and produce wonderful results. It says Elijah was as human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. And then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Now, the reason it says specifically Elijah was a human like you and me is because I think sometimes when we read about these people in the Bible, we think they're some kind of superhuman kind of person, and that we could never see God answer our prayers like he answered their prayers. And it specifically says Elijah was human like you, and if you pray fervently, a righteous person, it brings great power and wonderful results. God will answer your prayer like he answered Elijah's prayers. Amen. God never intended that we would live just naturally, just with our own ability and our own wisdom. He wants us to live supernaturally, to rely on our relationship with him. It's the only way that we can accomplish everything God has destined for us in our life. We can't do it in our own strength. We've got to rely on him. And prayer is one way you connect with God and makes power available and makes wonderful things happen when you pray. Say amen, somebody. Prayer is necessary. You know why? Because God calls us to do things that we can't accomplish on our own. Anyone know what I'm talking about? In order to rely on God's power continually, we need to be in constant communication with him. We need his help, and prayer, that's where we receive it. The early church, man, they prayed. They were so devoted to prayer, to praying together. They were constantly praying. The Bible says in Acts 1 verse 14, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women and the brothers of Jesus. It says that they were all constantly united in prayer. It doesn't say some of them. It says all of them. In Acts 2 verse 42, it says all the believers, say all. Say that means me. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, and to prayer. They were devoted to prayer. In Acts 3 verse 1, it says Peter and John, they went up to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock daily prayer meeting. That means every day they would go and join the other believers in the church and pray every day. Just think about that. Some people have said, well, you know, they weren't as busy in those days as we are. We're so busy today. Yeah, they had to walk everywhere they went. They never had a washing machine, a dishwasher, air conditioning, a car. They had none of that stuff. The conveniences we have, and yet, man, they were praying every day. Right after this, Peter healed that crippled man who was sitting at the gate, beautiful, remember? And the religious leaders got so upset with Peter and John, they arrested them, they threatened them. We forbid you, you cannot preach anymore. We don't want to hear you talk about Jesus. We don't want to hear about the name of Jesus. What did Peter and John do? The Bible says in Acts 4, as soon as they were released from custody, Peter and John, they went to the other believers. They explained all that had happened to them with the high priest and the elders. And when the believers heard their report, what did they do? They raised their voices in unity and they prayed. The early church, man, they were constantly devoted themselves to prayer. Can you see that? Prayer was a lifestyle for them. It was a lifestyle for Peter. In Acts 10, verse 9, it says, Peter went up on the flat roof of his house to pray. This was a lifestyle for Peter. The early believers were devoted to prayer. Yet today, in many churches, they don't even have a prayer meeting. And if they do, it's the least attended meeting of anything in the church. I read this, Pastor Jeremiah Johnson. I don't know if any of you know who Jeremiah Johnson is. It's a good name, though. I don't know him, but I read something he said, and I want to read it to you. I read it on where I get most of my information. I'm just joking. Facebook, I think it was. But as good as he said this, he said, as a leader in the body of Christ, I absolutely refuse to define success among a community of believers outside of the context of attendance at corporate prayer meetings. The early church in the book of Acts, I'm still quoting, was birthed from a corporate prayer meeting. They were in the upper room and sustained by corporate prayer meetings. In the words of Leonard Ravenhill, this is what Leonard Ravenhill said, Sunday morning church attendance shows how popular the church is. Sunday night, well, churches don't, hardly anybody even has Sunday night, but Sunday night church shows how popular the preacher is. And attendance at prayer meetings shows how popular God is. We have about 10% of you that come to prayer. 90% of you don't, and about 80% of you never ever been to prayer. He said this, I'm convinced that we have many popular preachers and ministries in America, but a God in heaven who has been largely forgotten, and we need to repent. Don't tell me how many people are there Sunday morning. Tell me how many people came to pray. Because that's your committed people right there. Prayer rooms are empty during the week while Sunday morning services are filled. It's a premier sign of a people who are not hungry for genuine revival. Now, we say we want revival. We've been fasting and praying. Last two Thursdays, we've had amazing prayer meetings. 90% of you weren't there. So you may say you want revival, but when you really want revival, you'll be willing to get down on your knees and join us and pray for God to move in this nation. Maybe when it gets bad enough, then Christians will get down and pray. Maybe when it gets bad enough, then we'll pray. Because generally Christians don't pray when everything's going good. But really, we're supposed to pray when things are good, when things are bad. It's a lifestyle of prayer. Can you say amen? And let me tell you, what is most compelling to me is that Jesus had a lifestyle of prayer, and the example that he set throughout his life and throughout his ministry, Jesus constantly, you see him drawing aside to a quiet place to go and pray to his Father. I mean, there's more than over three dozen scriptures that tell us that. I'll give you a few. Matthew 14, 23. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when the evening came, he was alone. In other words, he prayed into the night. Mark 1:34, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out, departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. In Mark 6, verse 46, so he dispersed the crowd and said goodbye to his disciples. Then he slipped away to pray on the mountain. In Luke 6, verse 12, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night long. Luke 5, verse 16, he often withdrew into the wilderness to pray. This was something Jesus did often. It was his lifestyle. Matthew 22:36, Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And if you read it from the Gospel of John, it says they went to Gethsemane, where Jesus often went with his disciples. In Luke 22:32, Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. So Jesus is praying for his disciples. Jesus is constantly drawing himself aside to pray. Listen, man, Jesus knew the importance of getting away from the clamor of the crowds to connect with his Father. You see it over and over, Jesus making time to pray alone. There's at least 36 mentions in the Gospels of Jesus drawing aside to pray. Listen, prayer has got to be a priority, man. It's not something that we do when we need God's help. Prayer, there's much more to prayer than that. Prayer is a lifestyle that you cultivate. Can you say amen? It's a constant conversation with God. You can pray and talk to God throughout the day. You can talk to the Lord throughout the day, but it's also good and it's also important to have a time and a place that you daily get alone to pray. If you want to prioritize prayer, it's good to have a place to pray, and it's good to have a time and have a plan. Jesus said in Matthew 6:5, he said, now about prayer, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who pretend piety by praying publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. Truly, that's all the reward that they'll ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, all alone, and shut the door behind you and pray to your Father secretly, and your Father who knows your secrets will reward you. Now listen, this may be a room in your house that you dedicate, that's where you're going to pray, or maybe even your patio, or maybe somewhere outside. I mean, Jesus liked to pray out in the mountains. It could be outside. For me, I've always had a study because I work from home, and I've always had, that's where I go, and I shut the door and in my study, and that's where I pray, and I've got, you know, my Bibles, and I've got worship music, and that's where I daily go aside, draw aside to pray. Now, I talk to the Lord throughout the day. You know, when you get up in the morning, good morning, Lord. Thank you. This is this day. This is going to be a great day. Thank you that you're going to guide, that you guide me and you lead me and you help me. I pray and I talk to the Lord throughout the day. When I'm working out in the gym, Lord, thank you today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for saving me. I just talk to him about before I go to sleep at night. Lord, thank you for today that you were with me. You protected me. You took care of me. Just talk to him. But then I also have a time in the day where I draw aside and I shut the door and I spend quality time talking to the Lord. It's good to have a place to pray. It's good to have a plan. I like to start out my prayer. I start out worship. I worship the Lord. Then I talk to the Father. I talk to Jesus. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for sending your son Jesus to save me. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to the earth and laying your life down. Thank you, Lord, for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you're with me and you guide me. You speak to me. You help me to pray. I talk to him and then I worship him. And then I pray in the Holy Spirit. Then I pray for you and I pray for people. I pray for my kids. I pray for the people in the church. I pray for whoever the Lord brings up into my heart. And then I read the Bible. And then I'll read it. I don't try and read it as fast as I can. I try and read it as slow as I can. I try to absorb it. I used to try and race through it. Now I read it real slow and something stands out. I'll go over that. Let me tell you, it is so easy to spend 30 minutes alone with the Lord. It goes just like that. It's so easy. 30 minutes is enough for me. I mean, I need a couple hours. But if you even spend 30 minutes a day alone with the Lord, that would be wonderful. Are you with me? I've got a notebook where I write things down. But I want you to know that prayer is not a religion. It's not a formula. It's a relationship. It's not something you check off your list. Well, did that. No, it's a relationship. And here's the thing I want you to think about. If Jesus, the Son of God, who was perfect, who was without sin, if he needed to pray constantly, surely we too need to pray constantly. Surely we need a lifestyle of prayer. If Jesus needs to pray, don't you think we need to pray? John 5 verse 19, Jesus said, the Son is not able to do anything from himself or through my own initiative. I only do the works that I see my Father doing. For the Son does the same works as the Father, because the Father loves his Son so much, he always reveals to me everything he's about to do. Now, when Jesus would go to a place, he would know what's going to happen. How did he know? Because God showed him. When did the Father show him? When he was praying on the mountainside. That's when God revealed to him the things that, and Jesus would get instruction from his Father, and he would simply do what the Father told. That's what Jesus himself said. Let me tell you, what would your life look like if you brought God into every area of your life throughout every day by praying continually about everything that you have to do? The key to allowing prayer to permeate your life is to put it first. When the Bible tells us to pray constantly, it's not talking about perpetual repetition. It's talking about the importance of prayer and being consistent in prayer. God wants us to pray first in all situations. He wants us to thank him, to ask him, to seek him, to trust him, to listen to him. When you wake up in the morning, pray first. Thank God for the day ahead. When you leave your house, pray first. When you're about to head into that business meeting, pray first. Thank you, Lord, that you're with me. You give me wisdom. You give me favor. When you're helping your child with the homework, pray first. When you walk into the doctor's office, pray first. Before you talk to that person about Jesus, pray first. Before you go to sleep at night, pray first. Thank God for helping you through the day. Let it be a lifestyle of prayer. Are you getting something out of this? No matter what you're doing throughout the day, prayer is what keeps you tethered to the one who loves you the most. Prayer is not just something we do Sundays. It's not just something we do pray over our at meal times. Listen, prayer is something, it's a lifestyle. You need to have a daily prayer time, but we don't just pray during our prayer time. It's something that we do throughout the day. Prayer is for all times. Communicating with God throughout your day is what brings God into everything you do and everyone that you encounter. Your prayer life anchors your relationship with God. Yet so many believers seem to struggle with this daily practice of prayer. They consider prayer to be something they know God wants them to do, but it feels a little awkward and maybe even a little scary. How do you talk to the God of the universe so they come to God in prayer, you know, like a nervous defendant approaching a stern judge in a courtroom? But God doesn't want prayer to be this formal kind of communication. Father, yes, hallelujah, Father, I'm here. Your Son, come to pray. Who the heck is that? No. God simply wants you to talk to him. Tell him everything. Ask for his help. Thank him for his blessings. Trust him with that pain. Think about the children in your life, how they talk to you. Depending on the stage of life that they're at, you know, their words may vary. But, you know, think about the open, loving, unconscious way that your children talk to you. You know, we have 8 grandchildren. They call me Pops. Pops, come look at what I drew. Come draw with me. Or Pops, you want to hear me play the piano? Pops, will you come help me? Come play Lego with me? It's like music to my ears. To see their face lit up with bright eyes, big smiles, man, as if they couldn't be happier to see me. And to talk to me. I wonder if that's why Jesus told us that we must be like children. If we really want to know God, that we've got to come to him like we his children and he's our Father. In Matthew 18, Jesus said, he called a little child to him and he placed the child among them. And he said, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never see the kingdom of God. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. See, rather than seeing God as distant and unrelatable. We should see him as a parent who lavishly loves his children, who takes delight in us. Prayer is about living in connection to God, and through that connection, living out his purposes and his plan and destiny for your life. Can you say amen? That's why it's important to talk to God before you act, before you decide, before you're tempted, before you take that risk, before you speak. How would your life be different if you were to pray first about everything that you do? Now listen, I want to kind of wrap this up, but let me tell you, the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us pray. I said the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us pray. Romans 8 verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Is there anyone here that you ever have a time where you're not sure what to pray for or how to pray about? My hand goes up. It says, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That tells me when I don't know what I should pray for, the Holy Spirit helps me to pray according to the perfect will of God. He helps me to pray God's will for my life. The Passion Bible says it like this, in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. And God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet he understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. That is telling me that when I don't know how to pray and I begin to pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit helps me to pray according to the perfect will of God, and he causes everything in my life to fit into God's destiny that he has for me. Amen. I was reading a book this week about prayer, and by a well-known pastor of a big church. And there's a lot of great content in the book, but I was amazed because in the entire book on prayer, he didn't mention one word about praying in tongues, not one word about praying in the Spirit. It is stunning to me that people neglect this. I really think that the reason why some people reject praying in tongues is because they are worried about what other people think about them. Worried about what people will think about me. Jesus was very clear about our need for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it was better for him to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come. And he said that the Holy Spirit, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you would receive power. He would empower you to be a witness for him, and that the Holy Spirit would never leave us, that he would always dwell within us. And Jesus told the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't start preaching. Wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. So they gathered together in the upper room in Jerusalem, and they were praying for 50 days until the day of Pentecost. And then the Holy Spirit was poured out, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all started speaking out in other tongues. That's how the church started. That is how the church started. The Holy Spirit was sent to be our helper. He helps us to pray. Yet many people today, many churches, you won't hear a word about praying in tongues or being filled with the Spirit. because they're more concerned about not offending anybody. It reminds me of when Jesus came to the earth, how people rejected him. His own people rejected him when he was on the earth. Who do we think we are to reject the Holy Spirit of God? Who do we think we are to say, Pastor Steve, I don't think you should talk about speaking in tongues. A lot of people don't like it. Who do we think we are? Let me tell you, I will never back down from talking about the Holy Spirit. I will never back down from talking about, I'd rather go do something else. I'd rather go sell cars than get up here and preach some kind of wimpy message. I'm going to preach in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. You don't like the power of the Holy Spirit? This isn't the place for you. I'll just tell you right now, because I am not going to grieve the Spirit of God to please you. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, when someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word he says because he's not speaking to people. He is speaking to God. He's speaking intimate mysteries. When I pray in the Spirit, I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm speaking directly to God, mysteries and secrets with God. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, it says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. The word edify, I looked it up in the dictionary and in the Strong's Concordance, it means to build. Edify means to build. That's where we get the word edifice. It means to lift up. Praying in tongues builds you up. Praying in tongues lifts you up. In Jude 1, verse 20, it says, but you constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. The Bible says when I pray in the Spirit, when I pray in tongues, I am being built up. The Amplified Bible says it like this. It says, but you, beloved, you build yourselves up on your most holy faith. You make progress. You rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. You rise like an edifice. You build yourself up praying in the Holy Spirit. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4 from the Passion Bible, it says, the one who speaks in tongues advances his spiritual progress. Can I tell you what I've noticed? I've been walking with the Lord for 42 years, and I've been in ministry for 40 years, actually 41. And can I tell you what I've noticed? I've noticed that people who receive the Holy Spirit and begin to pray in tongues on a daily basis, they seem to grow faster spiritually than people who don't. They advance their spiritual progress much faster than people that don't pray in tongues. Speaking in tongues is praying to God from your spirit, not from your mind, by the help of the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray from our mind, but we also need to pray from our spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays, but my mind is unproductive. The New Living Translation says, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, so what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray with my mind and my understanding. I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, and I will also sing with my mind and with my understanding also. In other words, we need to pray with our understanding. We need to pray from our mind, but we also need to pray from our spirit. Who's telling us this? Who wrote this? The Apostle Paul. The greatest apostle probably who's ever lived. He wrote over half the New Testament, and he prayed in tongues. And let me tell you, praying in tongues is a choice, because he said, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. You can decide whether you want to pray in the Spirit or not. Are you with me? Paul didn't say, well, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes on me and he makes me, uncontrollably, I can't help it, I start praying in tongues. No. He said, I choose. I will pray in tongues. I would pray with my understanding. I get down, I'm going to pray now, and now I'm the Spirit. And I do. Paul also said in Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than any of you. He said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. He said, I want every one of you to speak in tongues, and I pray in tongues more than any of you. Why do you think Paul prayed in tongues so much? Why did he want us all to pray in tongues? Because Paul knew the power of praying in tongues. That's why. I feel the same way about you. I know the benefits. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was raised a heathen. We were sinners, man. That was it. We didn't go to church. I had good parents. They were good to me. But we didn't know the Lord. All of this stuff was totally new to me. I got saved when I was 16 and gave my life to Christ. And then Pastor Theo told me about the Holy Spirit. He prayed for me. I kind of felt, did I feel silly? Absolutely. Was this crazy to me? Absolutely. But I thank God that I took this. If it's in the Bible, I believe it. If it's in the Bible, I'm going to believe it. If it's in the Bible, I don't care what I think or what anyone thinks, I'm going to believe it's in the Bible. And it was definitely in the Bible. So I started praying in the Spirit. I'd be 16 years old, living in my parents' house. I'd go into we had a den, and I'd lay down on my face, and I'd pray an hour. My friends would come over. Where's Steve? Oh, he's praying. They thought I'd gone off the deep end. Where are they today? Where am I today? I thank God. I'd go over to Pastor Theo's house, 6 o'clock in the morning. We'd pray in the Spirit, 2 hours. So when people tell me, well, this is new for me, it's new for us all. At some point or time, it was new to all of us. The question is, are you going to believe what the Bible says, or are you going to hold on to what you think? That's what it comes down to. Is this preaching too much, too hard for you? Can you take it? Can you handle it? Let me tell you, praying in the Spirit, it enables you to pray the perfect will of God even when you don't know what it is. It edifies you. It builds you up. It brings you rest. It brings you peace. When you understand the tremendous benefits of praying in the Spirit, I hope that you will begin to pray in the Spirit on a daily basis. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, it was so important to Jesus. It was so important to the Apostle Paul. The first thing that Paul would ask when he met new believers, in Acts 19, verse 1, it says, Paul, he traveled through the regions of Turkey till he come to the place called Ephesus, and he found a group of 12 followers of Jesus. They were followers of Jesus. The first thing that he asked them, say the first thing. First thing he asked them was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? No. They said, we haven't even heard about the Holy Spirit. They were already believers. They were already following Jesus. That tells me you can be a follower of Jesus and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Bible says, Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Spirit manifested, and they immediately spoke in tongues. Now, how many of you know people don't get saved by laying hands on them? How do they get saved? They receive Jesus. They believe on Jesus. They confess him as Lord. But how do they receive the Holy Spirit? Well, one way, pray laying hands on them. That's what we do today. They received the Holy Spirit when Paul laid hands on them. They spoke in tongues. So that means praying in tongues is a subsequent experience to being saved. And every time you see people in the Bible receive the Holy Spirit, they always spoke out in other tongues, heavenly languages. Don't know what I'm saying. And the Holy Spirit is for every believer. Every single believer, every single child of God can be filled with the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues. Because Peter said in Acts 2, verse 38, he said, repent and every one of you will be baptized in the name of Jesus and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. Say the Holy Spirit is for me. Say the Holy Spirit has been sent to the earth for me. And let me tell you, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, he enables you to pray in the supernatural way. It's called praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. It's scriptural. It's biblical. It's one of the things I'm so thankful for, is being able to pray in the Spirit. It helps me to pray the will of God for my life, for you. Amen. It helps. Whether I'm praying for you or my, I pray for my children like this. I pray for you like this. I know I'm praying. I know I'm praying in harmony with God's perfect will and His destiny for my life. Praying in the Spirit, it's like my go-to. I pray daily in the Spirit for myself. I like to pray an hour in the Spirit. I pray for my children. I pray for my grandchildren. I pray for our church. I pray for every one of you. Sometimes I'll call your name out and pray in the Spirit. When I'm facing situations, I don't know what to do. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. I pray in the Spirit. I pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit has come to help us. And one of the greatest ways He helps us is by helping us to pray. Helping us to pray according to the will of God. Because you know, when you pray in the Spirit, you're not praying with your own wisdom. You're praying with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. He knows everything. Even though I don't know what I'm praying. And this is what it allows God to work on my behalf. Bring everything in my life into harmony with His plan. Let me tell you, when you pray in tongues, you can expect everything will work out for your good. Might look like chaos going on. You pray in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will cause everything to turn around for your good. I want to encourage you. Make prayer a lifestyle. I want to encourage you. This Thursday, we're praying. I would love for it to be the biggest prayer meeting we ever had. Wouldn't you, Abel? This Thursday at 7 p.m., come join us. One way that you learn and develop your prayer life is get around other people who've developed the lifestyle of prayer. You'll be amazed at what God does in your life. Amen. Do you receive this today? Stand up with me, would you? Stand up with me. Give God some thanks and praise. Will you do that? Give Him some praise today. Amen. Give Him some praise today. Say this. Say, prayer is a lifestyle for me. Thank you, Lord, that when I pray, you hear me. Thank you, Lord, that you answer my prayer. Thank you, Lord, that I can give you all my burdens, all my troubles. Thank you, Lord, that I can ask you for whatever things I need. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to know you better as I make prayer a daily part of my life, a lifestyle. Tell your neighbor, I'm making prayer a lifestyle. Prayer's a way of life for me. Amen. How many of you're going to make prayer a lifestyle, a way of living? Amen. Well, bow your head. Father, we thank you today for the power of prayer. We thank you today, Lord, that when we pray, you hear us. The fervent prayer of a righteous person accomplishes great things. We thank you, Lord. We're so thankful that we do not go through this life on our own, but we have the Holy Spirit as our helper. Lord, we can call on you and you answer us. I thank you, Father, today as we go out of here, I pray that this word, this message, that it will go deep in our heart and it will change our thinking, change our life, that we will make prayer our lifestyle from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. While you have your head bowed, while you have your eyes closed, before we close today's service, I want to pray for anyone who's here this morning. If you are not sure where you stand with God today, if you are not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, if you were to die today, if you say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure what would happen to me, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Can I tell you the good news is you can be sure about that? You can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. You know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come and stand at the front. But right where you are, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to be sure that all is right, all is well with me and God. I want to be sure. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. That's you. If you want to receive Jesus in your life today and be forever changed, I want you just to quickly lift your hand up high. Lift your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Say this. Tell your neighbor. Look up at me for a moment. Tell your neighbor. Tell them 2 weeks' time. Tell them 2 weeks' time. Bill Weiss is going to be here. I'm bringing some sinners with me. I'm bringing some lost people with me. I'm bringing some people who need Jesus with me 2 weeks' time. So we're going to see 100 people saved in 2 weeks' time. Tell your neighbor, we're going to see 100 people are going to get saved in 2 weeks' time, and I'm bringing some of them. Amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Anything I forgot? I feel like there's something I forgot. Thank you, Dimini. If you would like to get one of those posters, you've got somewhere to put it, they're on the counter. Take however many you'll use. Take some more extra invites 2 weeks' time. Join us Thursday for prayer. God bless you. We love you. We're on a mission. Amen. We'll see you next time, everybody. Have a great, awesome week.
Just getting started.